Well, good morning. It's good to see so many of you here today joining us, and we're excited to see you, and there's many still coming in. And I don't know about you, I got out of the car this morning in the parking lot and had my stuff, and I'm just my normal routine, and as I got out of the car, I just had to stop and pray and thank God for such a gorgeous day, but opportunity to praise Him together. I look forward to our times on Sundays, and all that it represents, and seeing faces and greeting and doing all the different things, but especially this, where I get the opportunity to lead us into God's Word this morning. So I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 14. And I'm going to warn you right now that today is a setup. Take that whatever you mean, but what I mean is that it's a setup for the Sundays that will follow this month as we begin a new series. Because I want to raise an issue or maybe some thoughts, processes that many of us have gone through it, and some may be still going through within our life, and we can identify with. And when we start to think about them, sometimes we can get a little bit frustrated, you know, in trying to figure out the tension, because life is not a sitcom. I don't know about you, I grew up watching a lot of sitcoms. I mean, everything from old reruns of Leave It to Beaver and Gilligan's Island and The Cosby Show and all the different ones, because I'm of that generation. And it always amazed me that at the end of that 30 minutes, everything was resolved. And yet, nothing in my life has ever been resolved in 30 minutes. I don't know if I can get an amen out there or not, but that's my experience. So, to begin this morning, I want to put it out there. We're not going to solve all of life's issues this morning. And in fact, I'm going to ask you a question that you probably would not expect a pastor to speak from the pulpit. But it's one that many in our, not just in the church, but in our culture, have wondered. Because have you ever felt like Christianity isn't working? And I want you to hold on to that. I'm not going to get heretical here. But what I mean is, have you ever had an occasion where you felt like, you know what, God, I'm serving, I'm following, I'm trying to trust, and it's just not working the way that I thought it would? You know, if we were sitting down and having a coffee and chatting, I wonder how many of you might say something, if we really got real, that, you know, you're kind of a little burned out on the busyness that is sometimes involved in being a part of the church. You might be wondering, well, God's not answering my prayers the way that I feel God is answering the prayers of so many others that I encounter. And so what is it that I'm not doing right? Or you know, that you might say, well, I feel like I'm doing everything right. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to be a good Christian. And yet everything still seems to go wrong. What is it? And it could show up in a lot of different ways. You know, there's countless stories, unfortunately, of a young child that grows up in the church with his family. He does all the church stuff. He's in vacation Bible school. He's done the drawings of David and Goliath and heard all the little stories. And he's in the youth group and he's plugged into the church. And he's trying to do the right things. And then he goes home with his parents, who have been in the church right alongside him. And he sees an inconsistency in the midst of their life and relationship. And so he prays, and he prays because he's worried about his family. He's praying, God, save their marriage. And they end up divorcing, and he wonders, why, God, didn't you hear my prayer? Do you even care? Does Christianity work? It could be the couple that's, you know, done all the right things, and they're faithful, and they've got a lot of faith, and then one of them loses their job. And they struggle through that, and then in the midst of that, they have a miscarriage. And then the burden of all that loss eventually leads to so much tension in their marriage that they lose that relationship. And both of them asking, where is God in the midst of all of this? Does Christianity even work? It could be the couple that have a lot of faith, and then one day that happens, but it may not be so dramatic in your life. In fact, for most of us, it's not. I recognize that. It may be that you go to church and you spend time daily in Scripture and you listen to Christian radio and you have a church bumper sticker on your car and you have a decent job and a decent family and you do decent friends and you go to the decent vacation and you serve God, and while it's all decent, you still kind of left feeling unfulfilled. And you start to ask yourself, does it really work? And so you wonder, is there a better way? Because I think most of us would understand and agree that the way you do something or the way you say something matters. To give real life experience, if you've ever been married for very long, and it doesn't take long, and I'm not going to give specific examples here, but the way you speak or say something matters. You can say the same words, but the tone, the body language, the eyes, all those different things matter. And so what I want to share with us this morning is that I pray that it will start to reach into our heart, is that if you're hurting, if you're overwhelmed, if you're confused, if you're discouraged, I pray that the words of Christ here will begin to speak to us and promote something new within us. That in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his group, his people, his disciples, and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And then Thomas, of course, speaks up. And Thomas gets a bad rap. We've talked about this before, but he says exactly what everybody else is going to say. Or at least thinking. They didn't want to be the one that spoke up, but he does. And he says, well, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answers simply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way we live matters. As Christians, I don't know if you notice this, but generally when we think of the way, the truth, and life, we tend to especially focus of those three on the truth component. And we rarely tend to talk about the way of Jesus. And yeah, the truth component is incredibly important, but I think we forget that living the way that Jesus lived is a reflection of the truth that Jesus taught. And so while we often want to talk about the truth of what he said, we often tend to overlook the way that he lived that very truth. And so even when we get to the point of Jesus has passed and he's come back and he's lived among them for 40 days and he leaves, and we get into Acts and we read about the early Christians. They were not called Christians until much later. They weren't called religious people. They weren't called Bible thumpers. They weren't even called holy rollers or Jesus freaks. These spirit-filled, Jesus-loving world changers were called people of the way. That when you looked at the way they lived, their life and their goal wasn't just right theology, because they were still trying to figure that out. Their goal wasn't strong morality. Their goal was to live and love in the same way that Jesus lived and loved. And this is where we need to do some evaluation. We need to closely look at the way that Jesus lived and compare that way to the way we live. And it's not a stretch for us to declare that there's a huge difference. And I understand the differences of years and technologies and generations and all that stuff. But aside from that, Jesus provided us the example of a different way to live. Because Jesus isn't just the truth and the life, he is also the way to the Father. Think about the way that Jesus interacted with people throughout Scripture. He was intentionally compassionate. And yet, in most in our world, we tend to live stressed and full of anxiety. You don't see Jesus just going around declaring, the economy's falling apart, we're under Roman rule, woe is me. He didn't worry about it, because he had a different focus. And he said, don't you worry about tomorrow, for God's got it covered. And that was the philosophy. Don't worry about all that other stuff. Live into today in what God is providing for. That and yet, even with all of that information right before us, and we've read it and we've heard it over and over again, we take that, and yet we're still what some would say the most anxious generation in history. You never read that Jesus scurried around from town to town. He seemed unhurried, and yet we tend to rush everywhere. We're taught always to rush, always be anxious, always push it, always, you know, to the point that we're short with people and we're constantly pushing to do more, the next thing, do it faster and do it better. So much of our world is spent rushing around just trying to keep up. And what the end result is when we start to really step back is that we're becoming the kind of people that we don't even like, let alone someone that we feel would be an example of a life that's been transformed by the hope of Jesus Christ. And as a result, we can look at the church and the world around us, and the sad reality of what has become is that there's not a lot of difference between the way that we are living and those that don't know Christ. So no wonder that the world starts to ask, well, does Christianity really work? And the reality is that while we have had a lot of good intentions that are born out of a sincere love for Jesus and his church, too often we've applied the world's ways to following Christ instead of following Christ's ways to the way that we live in the world. And the result isn't what God intended for his people. And maybe it's not just the way that we're doing the work of God, but maybe it's our schedule and our pace is destroying the intimacy that God desires and that wants to have with us. Maybe it's our insecurities, our fears, our unresolved hurts that are distracting us from the way and the work of the Holy Spirit, who wants to interact in our world and strengthen us and draw us close. And so in response, most of us don't slow down, but instead we push forward. We ignore that God said, "Be still and know that I am the Lord your God." And so we hear that and we say, "Yeah, but..." And so we grind it out because that's the way we've been taught to be successful. This is the way to be happy. Remember, he who dies with the most toys wins. And so we push, we drive, we achieve, we conquer. And yet, even in the Old Testament, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death." And so the way that we live, the way that we speak, the way that we serve, we need to recognize that if it isn't drawing us closer to God, then in effect, maybe it's causing a disconnect. And so I want us to hear over the next several weeks from Jesus as he shows us the key to following the way. In Matthew chapter 11, I invite you to turn with me. It will be on the screen as well. He declares in verse 28 through 30, he declares, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And I, stop, pause right there. So if like many, you are worn out, burdened, or wondering where the difference, I want you to hear this invitation. "Come to me, you all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we hear this phrase, "take my yoke." And I heard from one pastor, and I admit, I have never been able to find the reference of this. He stated that a yoke was a rabbi's station of belief, that they could... I can't find that, but what I can obviously find out, and it is through most places that I've looked and references, even in Old Testament oral tradition, is that a yoke is not a rabbi's set of beliefs, but it is a wooden cross piece that joins two animals. That they work together to accomplish more. That it's not all just one animal pushing, but it's usually the younger one learning alongside the stronger older one, and that they temper each other. And they work together. And let me be clear, there is no yoke for a single animal. That's just a harness. But that any time there was a yoke, it was for two animals to be together. And so it's important for us to all understand that this isn't just of that economy that Jesus was in, because we all tie ourselves to a various yoke. For some, it's politics. For some, it's money. For some, it's fame or sports or family. We all tie ourselves to different things, thinking it's going to get us faster, further, and farther. But Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." So if you're worn out, if you're burned out, if you don't know if this is working, Jesus invites us to come and join alongside him, that we would encounter and live a better way. One not joined to schedule and joined to religion, but joined to him. That we would learn from him. He He's not inviting you just to trust and believe. And while that's valid, and I hope you do, he's also asking you to live the way that he lived as a response of the belief in the truth that he is. Now, some may push back, well, Jesus, you know, he was never a single mom. He doesn't understand. And some will say, well, Jesus never had a mortgage. He didn't have to make car payments. Jesus didn't work for my boss. And all of that's fair, but I'd say that Jesus had a pretty big assignment on his own as well, though. In fact, he was called by God to be without sin and to be a living sacrifice to give us life. Pretty big task, if you ask me. So I really believe we can, as we read and we evolve ourselves into the scripture and let it morph us and transform us as we take not just the truth, but apply it to our life in a way that we honor God because we start to apply his life, that Jesus, we experience loved freely, and yet he at still times, even though he was intentional with people as he encountered them, he disconnected at times to be alone with God, to be intimate with God. He had long meals with people that he loved. He had deep conversations. He stopped to listen to those that were hurting and to love on them. And so there's something for us to learn here. If you ever wake up and you wonder, is there a better way? I can tell you there is. It's found in the truth expressed in the way that Jesus lived. So if you're wondering if Christianity works, what I'm not going to do is give you a quick fix today. But what I want to do is, in fact, give us something to sit in the midst of. When we look at the world around us and we look at all that's before us, I think it's good for us to sit in some frustration. That we would get sick and tired of always working into the patterns of this world instead of where Christ has called us to do. As we pick up so much and we get sick of the pace and we get sick of the stress and sick of the anxiety, we're sick of the fear, sick of the exhaustion, and sick of being sick about the way we feel, and yet we keep doing it. We need to get to the point, not that we declare, Calgon, take me away, but we declare, Jesus, I need a link to you. Not just on Sunday mornings, but each and every day, all day. So this morning, I'm not going to solve our problems. I'm not going to give us 3 points. And some of you may go, whew. But what I want to do is give us this time to sit. And I would encourage you as you spend time, for one, I want to encourage you, spend time in God's Word this week. Begin to read the stories of Christ's encounter with the culture around him. Start to sit in the midst of that in comparison to, you know, God, I've got all these frustrations about life right now. And while we sit in that, what I want you to understand is where we're going. So because I believe that as we learn and adopt the ways of Christ, we're going to be able to enable a deeper and more passionate relationship with God. So one of the issues that we'll be discussing is what most of us are dealing with, that we're dealing with being rushed, stressed, overwhelmed. I've come to notice this in recent years. Even those that are retired seem to be busier than sometimes they were when they had jobs. I hear a lot of amens on that one. Wow. And it's hard for us to think of that, but We play into it. Got so much time to do it, but yet not enough time to do it. And it just gets worse and worse. And so Jesus invites us to join him in the unforced or unhurried rhythms of grace. Most people are also, that I know, are regretting a past that they can't change, and yet they still worry about a future that they can't control. So often they're present physically, and yet somewhere else mentally. And so we're going to talk about taking undivided attention in the midst of the moment, where we take a lesson from Jesus, who was always present and leaning and learning into how he showed us the way in this. And at the end of the month, we're going to look at the reality that many Christians are still struggling and overcome by temptation, and as a result, they feel distant from God. They feel spiritually dry. They may be doing all of the right things, supposedly, but yet they're just kind of going through the paces. And so we're going to talk about what it looks like to have an unbroken fellowship with the Father and how we can enjoy his presence intimately in an ongoing awareness of his presence. We all need to understand that, yes, Jesus is the truth and the life. But the way that he lived was a living example for us. Not just to say, oh, those are just good stories, but that they are a template for us as we try and we live into who God has called us to be. Because there is a better way. And his name is Jesus. Heavenly Father, sometimes I get tired of trying. I get frustrated. I feel like the little kid at bat that even when the ball is on the tee, I just can't quite hit it. That I've done all the different things, and yet at the same time still felt distant. But God, as we take upon your yoke, that as we join with you, as we encounter you in the midst of your word, that you show us a better way. Not that it's going to take away all the distractions and the rush at times, but that you will show us how to develop and be with the Father. Be still and know. Take a rest and sit. That we would know you are God. And so God, as we sit in the midst and we start to pay attention to the way that we are living, may you leave us restless for you. May we find ourselves uneasy at times because it helps us to realize that there is a better way. That is a way found in you that is not of this world's making. That it's not just about being more religious, but it's that it's living into the relationship that you died on the cross for us. To be the salvation and the way that we could not have on our own. That you have solved the issues that lay before us. That you are faithful. So God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us this week. Help us just pay attention to your calling. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the only way we're going to get to the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Truth has prophesied. Yes, I